There's a team of biomedical engineers in town trying to breathe new life into an old idea. Mark Ungren and his colleagues at the University of Calgary have been working on an emergency pandemic ventilator, and he's here to talk about it. Good morning, Mark. Thanks for joining us on the line.
Good morning.
Can you explain what your ventilator looks like and what it was inspired by?
Well, the idea here is basically we're looking for a way to really simply apply a pressure difference from the inside to the outside of the lung to assist breathing. In this case, we tried to build something from readily available materials. So the idea is basically there's a chamber that sits over the patient. In this case, we're really trying to build it out of simple materials, so polyethylene plastic film and an arch of some sort. Where you can then lower the pressure in that chamber outside the patient, and that allows or makes it easier for them to expand their lungs. The greater air pressure inside coming down their throat kind of helps push the lungs open.
Mark, this sounds like the old iron lung. Is that basically what you're creating here?
Yes, it's definitely. It's inspired by, Emerson, there was an individual with that name, and then he started a company, and they made these jacket or poncho designs, sort of back in the 20th century. And so the idea was that we could kind of revisit some of these older technologies, not as something that we would expect to see implemented here in Canada, but there's a lot of places elsewhere in the world that just don't have the advantage of the healthcare system that we have here that may not have much or anything by way of alternatives.
I find this fascinating that you're inspired by an idea that was literally from a century ago. Of course, the original iron lung was designed to help polio victims, wasn't it? Is that how it started out?
So there's been a fairly surprisingly long history, actually, when you start digging into it, of developments in this area, assisted ventilation. A lot of it was around polio, which is definitely a different disease than the COVID-19 respiratory distress response. So there's, I think we're for efforts in Alberta and in Canada, I think, we've got the kind of more modern technology that I think we can rely on here. I'd be, perfectly happy if these systems that we come up with, don't need to be used at all. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we think that would be kind of a minimum level of functionality that hopefully you could deliver to people in areas that just really don't have any alternatives.
I get it. You've got a lot better materials to use than a big iron cylinder, basically. So where would you use this? You're saying you don't see it having an application here because of the equipment we've got here. So who would use this thing?
If you look out at a lot of places in the world, there's some of these refugee camps with 20,000 people in them, and, is almost nothing by way of medical support. I mean, there is a limit to the point where you don't want to be, doing this without at least some medical support, because you can, for instance, we don't want people doing this at home. If there's enough, even just we're powering ours off a vacuum cleaner, and there's enough suction in there to really cause some damage to your lungs if you're not, if you're not careful, if you're not using this the right way. And similarly, in places overseas, there would need to be a certain degree of medical expertise present. But yeah, these sorts of environments where really, they don't have a ventilator, no one's going to give them a ventilator. You don't even hear a lot spoken about these areas right now because people are very focused locally. And that's understandable, but at the same time, I think we do have an obligation to think about what's going on elsewhere in the world. Where a lot of these sort of fairly basic things that we take for granted, are we going to have access to a top-tier ventilator here, or are we just going to have to drop down to the second-tier machine elsewhere? They're not even thinking that far up the chain.
I'm sorry, did you say you're powering it off a vacuum cleaner, like a shop vac or a home Electrolux? What kind of vacuum cleaner?
Well, so yeah, this is actually interestingly something that some of the old Emerson machines did in the 20th century as well, as they would run off essentially a vacuum cleaner. And we're trying to do this in a very modular way because, again, depending on the environment, you don't know what people will have access to. And so really there's three components. There's this chamber that sits around the patient and allows you to turn negative pressure into breathing effort. There's a source of negative pressure, and so vacuum cleaners are a fairly common source. But again, it could be that you need to run it off the blowers in the air conditioning or the air handling system in a truck. It could be central vac. It could be really anything. And then in between those two, we need something that will take the degree of suction delivered by that vacuum, reduce it down to a level that is appropriate, because again, you know, the vacuum cleaners are generally much more powerful than you want, enough to be damaging. And then you also need something that controls the cycle time, right? So there's going to be an inhale cycle and an exhale cycle. And so how long those are and how often they're repeated is another critical component. And then ideally, we'd have some instrumentation as well, so that we can keep track of, you know, how much volume's going in and out of the patient and how their blood oxygen levels are. But it's a question of how easy those are to access.
Were you working on this before the pandemic?
No. My primary focus is tissue engineering, regenerative medicine, and sort of stem cells. But I do quite a bit of development of enabling technologies to support that research. And so we have, you know, a lot of prototyping equipment and experience. And so this was just something that's sort of started in the last week and a half.
I get you're planning for these to be used elsewhere other than here. But if things got bad enough, could it be used here?
I mean, it could be used anywhere, but I've been talking to a number of health professionals around, you know, what the use case would be, and I really, my impression from talking to quite a few people here is that I think, you know, the situation's not ideal, but they've got a pretty good handle on not only what do we have, but what alternative sort of backup systems that we have, and also how they're distributed geographically across the province. And so I think what a shortage here looks like is things are going to have to be moved around, and there's going to be a bit more thinking about, okay, this patient doesn't actually need the fanciest ventilator we have. We can move them over to this other machine, which will serve their needs well enough, and then we'll take this really fancy machine and put someone else on it who really needs it. So I think there's definitely be some complications from a logistics perspective, and you know, my sympathies to the people that have to handle all that stuff. But there are sort of multiple tiers of backup in place here that I would be extremely surprised if we got close to a point where we would need something like the system we're developing here in Alberta.
Well, like you, I very much hope we don't get there. But fascinating what you're working on, Mark. Thanks for joining us to talk about it.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
That's Mark Ungren. He's an associate professor in the Department of Comparative Biology and Experimental Medicine at the University of Calgary, and he's part of a team working on a rudimentary modern-day iron lung, which could serve as an emergency pandemic ventilator if the need ever arose.